1 p.m., B-U-L-O-V-A, Bulova Watch Time. Bulova, gift of a lifetime.
Hello, everybody. May I come in? Thank you. I'd like to spend 15 minutes with you and rejoice, but quietly and sanely. Yes, it's Jack Bundy with the transcribed album, some choice music, a few news oddities, and snapshots. And the portrait in the album today is of Danny Webb. Well, we shall look at that picture closely a bit later on. It's so lifelike, I wouldn't be surprised if we get it to talk. The opening number, My Heart Stood Still, is going to be dedicated to Corporal Walter O'Connor, who arrived home in Chicago from the Southwest Pacific. He didn't tarry long. He made a special trip to Moline, Illinois, to a war plant. He wanted to see the 35 women employees who had adopted him. The corporal saw quick action. Without hesitating, he kissed each of the 35 girls with whom he has been corresponding. Said O'Connor, "I've seen a lot of war, but I've never seen a beachhead established as fast as the girls do it here." "Yes, sir, Corporal. When you went away, the gals made love on the back porch. Now they'll do it right on the front page. And watch out for those kisses. It results in the shortening of a single life." Yes, we can say it again. The methods of romancing these days are unpredictable. Last week, for example, police were tracking down the source of 5 false fire alarms within an hour in Brooklyn. It was after midnight when they came upon a 23-year-old girl. She admitted everything and gave this explanation. "I had a fight with my boyfriend and blew my top." Well, I guess it developed, too, that the gal was a secretary and that she had graduated from a secretarial school with the highest honors. The gal very likely finished 3 laps ahead of her closest rival. Well, what do you say we take out a minute to listen to what you have, McKee?
Beware of the moth. Public enemy number 1. Silent. Destructive. Unsuspected.
You've all heard of Johnny Moth, who loves to eat fur coats and cloth. He spent the winter starving in a closet there.
Now summer season's coming, and the little moths are humming, for they see fur coats upon the bill of fare.
They will cost you many dollars by consuming cuffs and collars. You'll have nothing but the buttonhole by fall.
If you're wise, then in a box you'll send your furs to I.J. Fox. For in their storage box they're safe until you call.
Caledonia 5, 4500, I.J. Fox, fur storage.
Well, we've got a bit of a ditty now. We've got a bit of a ditty here by Ethel Smith. Would you just put that on, McKee? Just kind of short-like. That's the idea.
About a widow named Brown, the hardest working woman in the whole blame town. She took in boarders and she raised a flock of kids. Now, here's how she put her washing troubles on the skids.
She tried out super suds, and it was then she saw the light. How all those rich, long-lasting suds could make her linens white. Yes, those real long-lasting suds sure have the Indian sign on dirt. They chase it with less rubbing out of towel, sheet, and shirt.
Make the suds test in milk bottles. What a welcome sight you'll see. Super suds get so much suds, and they're as lasting as can be.
Super suds, super suds, lots more suds than super suds.
Well, the big picture in the album today is of Danny Webb, who was dubbed the Comedy Commando by General Eisenhower. Danny, tell us, what kind of a career did you have in the Army?
Well, it was sort of a mixed career, Jack. I left this as the Army to go overseas, where I was supposed to be General Eisenhower's radio announcer on a new little thing they had called frequency modulation. We'd broadcast direct from the front to his office at headquarters, but when we got there, it seemed that they had to change it to teletype, so I became a mess sergeant.
Not even connected with teletype?
No, nothing at all. Just getting the food out, but, I mean, you manage to learn in the Army, even if it takes an hour.
Tell us, when did you get your discharge?
I got my discharge in November, this past November.
Mm-hmm. And how were you wounded?
Well, we had a little... I was taken out of that unit of mine, and I was put with a Red Cross unit of GIs, and they gave us a little clubmobile, and we were supposed to go right up to the front where USO shows and other shows couldn't get there, and out of the way ACAC outfits. And we just had left Rome at this time, and we got about 10 miles above when we hit a landmine, and luckily it hit in a spot right under the clubmobile where it just blew the whole clubmobile in the air. And most of us, all we got were broken legs and concussions.
Mm-hmm. And a little shock, I imagine,
oh,
too.
Quite a little.
A rude awakening, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. You also did some sad sack characterizations, didn't you, while you were over there?
Yes, we originated a thing called Sad Sack on the Air, and Major Andre Baruch was the announcer. It was his station. He started the radio stations there, and we used to do it three times a week, and was a favorite character among the boys who had been reading the cartoons.
Well, tell us about the greatest audience you ever had, the one that gave you the biggest thrill.
Well, I got an order once, and it said to be on the alert, and by orders of Supreme Allied Headquarters, and I thought it was another command performance for either General Eisenhower or General Patton or one of the British generals. But to my great surprise, I was flown back to Algiers and then put on a boat with a big white cross, and it was a Grips home.
Mm-hmm.
And General Barr told me to be a little careful, that these boys had just come from the prison camp. They'd been taken in the Tunisian campaign, and they hadn't seen American entertainment in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, go a little easy with them, he says. They may not be used to it. Well, I went out there, and I don't have to tell you about the sight I saw. These boys were, they were great. And I stood there for 1 hour. They wouldn't let me go off. The greatest audience I've ever had in all my life, and I'm telling you, they were swell.
And it's very likely no audience will ever compare with one of that kind again.
That's right, Jack.
Well, now that you're out of the Army, what are you going to do now?
Well, I'm going to start to get myself homogenized.
And for what purpose?
Oh, I'm going to be a milkman starting next week, Jack.
No kidding.
Uh-huh.
What company? Can you tell us, or shouldn't you?
No, I'd like to tell you, in fact. It's going to be the Sheffield Milk Company on WOR.
Oh, one of these one-day-a-week jobs.
That's right, Jack.
Well, tell us, what time is that program heard?
Well, it's heard over Mutual, WOR, at from 7 to 7:30 on Saturday night. It's called Guess Who, and I'm taking over starting this Saturday night.
And what are you going to do? Are you going to be funny on the program?
Well, I hope to be. I mean, that's what the Sheffield people hope.
Well, how about being a little funny for us now, or giving us an idea of what you're going to do?
Oh, a booking agent at heart, huh?
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you something very funny. You see, I was a temporary top kick for about 3 months, and being a little guy, and these boys were hardened from the front in our company, and they wouldn't just, when lights went out, they wouldn't go to sleep. So I had to entertain them, and I used to tell them bedtime stories with Mother Goose rhymes, something like this.
There was a little girl who had a little curl right in the middle of her forehead. When she was good, she was very good. And when she was bad, it was in the Casbah. Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet, eating accords and waves. Along came a spider, sat down beside her. Everybody wants to get into the act.
Even the spiders are getting hungry nowadays. One meatball.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Hickory dickory dock. Woo-hoo, the mouse ran up the clock. Woo-hoo, the clock struck one. Ooh, 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Gotta get a drink, the bar's closes.
Now, wait a minute, pal. This is Casablanca, and you don't have to worry about the bar. Ding dong dell. Pussy's in the well. Who put her in?
Oh, Rick, please. It wasn't me, Rick. I wouldn't hurt a little pussycat. You've got to believe me, Rick.
Must have been one of the Mother Goose mob. Must have been Muscle Man Wee Willie Winky.
Now, wait a minute, see? Was Georgie Porgy pudding pie? Kiss the dames and he makes them cry. Yeah, when the boys come out to play, why, Georgie Porgy takes a powder, yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, Danny, and I'm sure that you're going to be a big success on this new show. And I wish we had more time to hear more of your nursery rhymes.
Well, thanks a lot, Jack, and it'll be a pleasure to come back and sit here and have a little chat with you and your album.
Thank you. Well, it's just about time for me to think about leaving. I think I'll have lunch with Danny Webb, first of all, see if I can pick up a few ideas, and after that, I'll be off to Sheepshead Bay to pick up a few jokes by the gobs for tomorrow's program. Goodbye, everybody.
This is the Mutual Broadcasting System. A transcription.
See MGM's great picture, The Valley of Decision, starring beautiful Greer Garson, exciting Gregory Peck, with Lionel Barrymore, Donald Crisp, Preston Foster, and Marcia Hunt.
World premiere engagement, The Valley of Decision, now at the Radio City Music Hall.
trust all the receivers are down on the party line, and, well, we'll come in at this time and tell you that welcome to another recorded program titled Featured Artist. Tonight, Joe Stafford.